First Chronicles 9 through 10. So all Israel was enrolled in genealogies, and behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. And Judah was taken into exile to Babylon for their infidelity. Now the first inhabitants who lived on their own property in the cities were people of Israel, including the priests, the Levites, and the temple servants, some of the sons of Judah, some of the sons of Benjamin, and some of the sons of Ephraim and Manasseh lived in Jerusalem. Uthai, the son of Ammihud, the son of Omri, the son of Imri, the son of Bani, from the sons of Perez, the son of Judah. From the Shilonites were Asaiah, the firstborn, and his sons. From the sons of Zerah were Jeu and their relatives, 690 of them. From the sons of Benjamin were Salu, the son of Meshullam, the son of Hodaviah, the son of Hasanua, and Ibneah, the son of Jerohim, and Elah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Mikri, and Meshullam, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Reuel, the son of Ibnijah, and their relatives according to their generations, 956. All these men were heads of fathers' households according to their fathers' houses. From the priests were Jediah, Jehoiarib, Jeshan, and Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meraoth, the son of Ahitub, the chief officer of the house of God, and Adiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Pesher, the son of Malchijah, and Masai, the son of Adiel, the son of Jezerah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Meshillameth, the son of Immer, and their relatives, heads of their fathers' households, 1,760 competent men for the work of the service of the house of God. Of the Levites, there were Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Ezrakam, the son of Hashabiah, the sons of Merari, and Bakbakar, Heresh, and Galal, and Mataniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zikri, the son of Asaph, and Obadiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, and Berechiah, the son of Asa, the son of Elkaniah, who lived in the settlements of the Netophathites. Now the gatekeepers were Shalom, Akub, Talmon, Ahiman, and their relatives, Shalom the chief being stationed until now at the king's gate to the east. These were the gatekeepers for the camp of the sons of Levi. Shalom, the son of Kor, the son of Abiasaph, the son of Korah, and his relatives of his father's house, the Korahites, were in charge of the work of the service, doorkeepers of the tent, and their fathers had been in charge of the camp of the Lord, keepers of the entrance. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, was supervisor over them previously, and the Lord was with him. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was gatekeeper of the entrance of the tent of meeting. Those who were chosen to be gatekeepers at the thresholds were 212 in all. They were registered by genealogy in their settlements, those whom David and Samuel the seer appointed in their official capacity. So they and their sons were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, the house of the tent, in their divisions of service. The gatekeepers were on the four sides, to the east, west, north, and south. Their relatives in their settlements were to come in every 7 days from time to time to be with them. For the four chief gatekeepers, who were Levites, served in an official capacity, and were in charge of the chambers and in charge of the treasuries in the house of God. They spent the night around the house of God, because the watch was committed to them, and they were in charge of opening it morning by morning. Now some of them were in charge of the utensils of service, for they counted them when they brought them in and when they took them out. Some of them were also appointed over the furniture and over all the utensils of the sanctuary, and over the finely milled flour, the wine, the olive oil, the frankincense, and the balsam oil. Some of the sons of the priests prepared the mixing of the balsam oil. Mattathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shallum, the Korahite, had the responsibility for the baking of cakes and pans. Some of their relatives of the sons of the Kohathites were in charge of the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. Now these are the singers, heads of fathers' households of the Levites, who lived in the chambers of the temple, free of other duties, for they were engaged in their work day and night. These were the heads of fathers' households of the Levites according to their generations, chief men who lived in Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, lived in Gibeon, and his wife's name was Maacah, and his firstborn was Abdon, then Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Mikloth. Mikloth fathered Shemim, and they also lived with their relatives in Jerusalem opposite their other relatives. Ner fathered Kish, Kish fathered Saul, and Saul fathered Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbal. The son of Jonathan was Merib-Baal, and Merib-Baal fathered Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tareah, and Ahaz. Ahaz fathered Jerah. Jerah fathered Alameth, Azmaveth, and Zimri. And Zimri fathered Moza. Moza fathered Benaiah. And Raphaiah was his son, Eliasa his son, Azel his son. Azel had six sons, whose names were these: Azrakam, Bosheru, Ishmael, Shariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from the Philistines, but fell fatally wounded on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines also overtook Saul and his sons. And the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle became severe against Saul, and the archers found him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword, and thrust me through with it. Otherwise these uncircumcised Philistines will come and abuse me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was very afraid. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell on his sword and died. So Saul died with his three sons, and all those of his house died together. When all the people of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their cities and fled, and the Philistines came and lived in them. It came about the next day, when the Philistines came to strip those killed, that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. So they stripped them and took his head and his armor, and sent messengers around the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to their idols and to the people. They put his armor in the house of their gods, and impaled his head on the house of Dagon. When all Jabesh-Gilead heard everything that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men got up and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and brought them to Jabesh. And they buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh and fasted for 7 days. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of her, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Matthew 9. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee and came to his own city. And they brought him a paralyzed man lying on a stretcher. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man who was paralyzed, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." And Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." And he got up and went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and began dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Now go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, rather than sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him, asking, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The attendants of the groom cannot mourn as long as the groom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the groom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, and a worse tear will result. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." While he was saying these things to them, behold, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will become alive again." Jesus got up from the table, and began to accompany him, along with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him, and touched the border of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will get well." But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." And at once the woman was made well. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And this news spread throughout the land. As Jesus went on from there, two men who were blind followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And after he entered the house, the men who were blind came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout the land. And as they were going out, behold, a demon-possessed man who was unable to speak was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the man who was previously unable to speak talked. And the crowds were amazed, and were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "He casts out demons by the ruler of the demons." Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Acts 7, 1 through 28. Now the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Listen to me, brothers and fathers. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and he said to him, 'Go from your country and your relatives, and come to the land which I will show you.' Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. And from there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet he promised that he would give it to him as a possession, and to his descendants after him, even though he had no child. But God spoke to this effect, that his descendants would be strangers in a land that was not theirs, and they would enslave and mistreat them for 400 years, and whatever nation to which they are enslaved, I myself will judge, said God. And after that they will come out and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham fathered Isaac, and circumcised him on the 8th day, and Isaac fathered Jacob, and Jacob the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph, and sold him into Egypt. Yet God was with him, and rescued him from all his afflictions, and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and his entire household. Now a famine came over all Egypt and Canaan, and a great affliction with it, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family was revealed to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent word and invited his father Jacob and all his relatives to come, 75 people in all. And Jacob went down to Egypt, and he and our fathers died there. And they were brought back from there to Shechem, and laid in the tomb which Abraham had purchased for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. But as the time of the promise which God had assured to Abraham was approaching, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt, until another king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. It was he who shrewdly took advantage of our nation, and mistreated our fathers in order that they would abandon their infants in the Nile, so that they would not survive. At this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful to God. He was nurtured for 3 months in his father's home, and after he had been put outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was proficient in speaking and action. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his countrymen, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended and took vengeance for the oppressed man by fatally striking the Egyptian. And he thought that his brothers understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. But they did not understand. And on the following day he appeared to them as they were fighting each other, and he tried to reconcile them to peace by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why are you injuring each other?" But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? You do not intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you?" Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. Listen, my sons, to the instruction of a father, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding. For I give you good teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart take hold of my words. keep my commandments, and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not abandon her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your possessions, acquire understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Psalm 9, 1 through 10. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will rejoice and be jubilant in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations. You have eliminated the wicked. You have wiped out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in everlasting ruins. And you have uprooted the cities. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits as king forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples fairly. The Lord will also become a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not abandoned those who seek you.